What is the message that the church is to take to the world? Is it a message of social justice? Is it a message of fixing poverty and discrimination? Social justice? Is it a message of politics? Is it a message of people's abilities to triumph over the afflictions and difficulties and challenges of life, as Joel Osteen says, live inspired, reach your dreams, become all that God created you to be. You know, there are many organizations and efforts that deal with the social, the political, and the cultural issues of the world. The things that plague us and discourage us and seem to overwhelm us. But there is only one entity, one organization, if you will, that is commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself to make disciples of all the world, the church. And the message of the church is not politics. It's not social justice. It's not to fix the wrongs of the world. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the message of the cross. In Paul's words, the message of the church is to preach Christ and to preach Him crucified. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Paul calls it the message, the word, the logos of the cross. What's the message of the cross? Well, clearly it's not a reference to a piece of wood or to a gold symbol that we wear around our necks. No, it's a reference to Christ, to the crucified Christ, crucified upon the cross of Calvary. The message of the cross, sometimes simply called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, a Savior, summed up in the Apostles' Creed, which we didn't recite this morning, but it's also in the Nicene Creed. Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell, but the third day He rose again from the dead. The message of the gospel. Paul says, to the pious Jew and to the cultured Greek, this message, this gospel, is foolishness. Peter says something very similar, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, and in it he quotes from Isaiah the prophet. He says, therefore, to you who believe, He, Christ, is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word. To the Jews, Paul says, the gospel was a stumbling block. This word stumbling block in Greek is a word that you know, scandal. The gospel message was and is scandalous to the Jews. How could one who died upon a cross be God's Messiah? The law was clear. Deuteronomy 21:23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death and he is put to death and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And then the law says this, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. To the Jews, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ upon a tree, the cross, disproved his claims to be the Messiah. His death was a cursed death, cursed by God Himself. The Jews had no concept of a suffering Messiah. They had no concept of a crucified Savior. In spite of scriptures such as Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Second problem for the Jews was that they wanted signs. They did not look to a meek and a humble Savior. They wanted a conquering king. They wanted one who would come and throw off the Roman yoke and subdue their enemies. One who would demonstrate power from heaven, like Moses when he brought the plagues upon Egypt and he parted the Red Sea and Israel walked across on dry land and brought manna from heaven and water from a rock. Or like Elijah who brought fire down from heaven. The cross. Death by crucifixion. Accursed of God Himself. Was defeat, shame, not glory, not power, not victory. So the preaching of the cross was an affront to them. It was a scandalous thing to be crucified upon a tree. No power, no glory. The opposite of what they thought Messiah would be. To the Greeks, the gospel of the cross was foolishness. Foolishness is from the Greek word moron, absurd. The Greek philosopher Plutarch wrote it was an insult to God to involve him in human affairs. To the Greeks, the whole idea of the incarnation of God becoming man was unthinkable. And then a God suffering and dying at the hands of his enemies was an unacceptable idea. Foolishness, absurd, moronic. Another problem for the Greeks was that they sought wisdom. They prized mental cunning and silver-tongued oratory. They loved fine words. And to them, the blunt message of the gospel was just crude, unrefined, unacceptable. A God who judged men for sin. A God who came to earth as a man to shed his blood as a sacrifice, to payment, as a payment for sin. It was silly and repugnant. Christ crucified is still foolishness to the world, still repugnant, still absurd. Paul says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. The Greek word here that he uses is apolemai, being destroyed. It's a process. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, Satan is called Apollyon, same word. He's the destroyer. He's in the process of destroying, of bringing about the perishing of those who follow in his way. To the Jews and the Greeks, the Gentiles, the pagans, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, as Paul puts it in Ephesians, to those who are perishing, to those without hope, living in spiritual darkness, facing eternal destruction from a holy and a just God. The preaching of the cross is foolish. And it is scandalous. 2,000 years later, nothing has changed, has it? The wise and sophisticated of the world still are scandalized by the cross, by the bloody cross. And they think the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, is foolishness, to be ridiculed and scoffed at. Those who are perishing, the spiritually blind and dead, do not want to hear that they are perishing. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. They do not want to hear that they are in need of God's grace, God's forgiveness. In Philippians 3:18, Paul even calls them enemies of the cross of Christ. Those who are perishing think that Jesus Christ is an atoning sacrifice, a propitiation for sins, makes no sense. That God's wrath hanging over them because of their sin is a foolish idea. And that Christ is the only way of forgiveness and life eternal is foolish. Those who are perishing think that Christ's substitutionary death, that he died in the place of guilty sinners upon the cross, taking our sin, our punishment, our just deserts upon himself, is folly. All of the work of redemption, of salvation in Christ's atoning death on Calvary, summed up by Paul as the message of the cross, is offensive, unbelievable to those who are perishing. To them, the cross is myth, child's fantasy, wishful thinking. Those who are perishing are like a person overboard in the ocean, and a lifesaver is thrown out to them. And looking at it, they respond that that little thing couldn't possibly help me. What a foolish thing. But to those who are in Christ, Paul says, who are called by him, that is the elect, the message of the cross is the power of God. We don't minimize it. We don't hide from it. We surrender to it. We do so with joy and gladness and rejoicing and thanksgiving. We don't minimize it. We hide in it. We glory in the cross. Paul says that there are two things that are foolishness to the world. First, the message is foolish. The message of Christ crucified as a redeemer of sinners is moronic. It's stupidity to the world. It's to be rejected and ridiculed. But something else that's interesting is, Paul says, the method is also foolish. The preaching of the cross of Christ. Preaching is a technical word in the New Testament. It means to proclaim. It's in the imperative. It is proclaiming Christ. It is a call to action. A call to obedience. To repentance and to faith. There's a sense of urgency in the proclamation of the cross. And to the world, the method of preaching as well as the message are foolish. Two different responses or attitudes toward the gospel in this section. The perishing respond with rejection and ridicule, even responding that it's foolish. But the called, the elect of God, respond by accepting and embracing the gospel message as truth, life-giving truth. Rather than signs and wonders, rather than wisdom, God has given preaching, the heralding of the cross. I'm afraid that many today have come to see preaching as old-fashioned, ineffective. And I confess, sometimes as a preacher, I feel like no one ever hears, no one listens, no one responds. Many today have embraced more pragmatic, more effective methods, like those that reach the people of today, like video and drama and comedy and entertaining music. But they forget that it's not us. It's not us or our amazing methods that get the results. Charles Finney was wrong. Deadly wrong. God is the one who changes lives. Salvation is of the Lord. It is always His working by His Spirit, by His power, never us. We need to do God's work in God's way. And He works through His Word by His Spirit, bringing the foolish gospel by a foolish method to those that are perishing. Worldly methods can get results, at least outward apparent results. Numbers, enthusiasm. But often, as we all know, often no true spiritual results. No changed lives. But the foolish method of preaching is God's way. I would have you turn to Romans, just a few chapters back from where we are. In chapter 10, Paul speaks of this again so well. Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, he says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The power of the gospel is never in us, never in our methods, never in our wisdom. It is always God. God has chosen to use a method that does not make sense any longer, proclaiming a foolish message. But by His power, it gets the work done. And it does so in a way where God always gets the glory, because it's never us that accomplishes it. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we're told that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It's the same word. God's method has always been a foolish method with a foolish message. Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh, a pagan, violent, murderous people who had no interest in God. And he preached righteousness to them, and from the king down to the poorest, they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and God withheld His judgment. Isaiah was a preacher. Christ was a preacher. The disciples were preachers. Paul was a preacher, imperatively heralding the gospel, the message of the cross. The larger context in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that there are divisions in the church because of pride. But the gospel and the work of the kingdom defeats pride, because we do not accomplish it. God accomplishes it. Whatever is done in the church for the kingdom is done by God's power, never ours. There is no room for pride, no room for boasting. It is always Christ. We are but servants. It's irrelevant if we are seen as foolish by the world. Our task is simply to proclaim the cross of Christ. of Christ, which is God's way of redeeming the lost and gathering His people. As individuals and as a church, we must do God's work, God's way, not ours. Recognizing it is never in our strength or our wisdom. The world's wisdom is attractive and it seems right. But notice verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The world's wisdom is often wrong. Just do a little survey of history and you see it. Not too long ago, they thought draining blood from a person was a good idea when they were sick. Said George Washington died as a result. Not too long ago, they thought baths were a bad idea, that they spread infection. Just cover yourself with perfume. Perhaps in a couple of years from now, the world's wisdom regarding COVID will be seen as deadly wrong. The wise of the world still think the beautiful and the complex universe came about by accident from nothing. To them, the universe is without plan, without purpose, without design, without meaning. And so we are without meaning. We are just dirt. But God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That all creation declares the glory of God, of its designer, of its creator, who demands our worship and accountability to Him. Where has the wisdom of the world gotten us? The wisdom of the world's philosophers and great thinkers and sociologists and psychologists and politicians. Where has it gotten us? Not to peace. Not to joy. Not to contentment. Certainly not to personal fulfillment. People are as angry, depressed, discouraged, hopeless as ever, if not worse. In fact, suicides, particularly among teens, has risen over the last year. What is amazing is that this worldly wisdom, not that it attracts the perishing, but that it attracts Christians, that we are sometimes drawn to it, that we let it influence and mold us into its thinking. That this foolishness of the world, contrary to God's wisdom, is attractive to us. The world's wisdom and ways which seeks to justify rebellion against God and His commandments has never and will never bring people to God or give inner peace and fulfillment. It should not attract us. Christian, your concern should never be the approval or the acceptance of the perishing, the ungodly around you. They are spiritually dead. They're walking in darkness. As John writes, the world is passing away and the lust of it. You will not get their approval if you are true to God's word. I'm talking about spiritual things, eternal things, not practical things like how to operate a computer, for example. Jesus said, everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. If you walk in the light, if you glory in the cross, the world will not like it because they do not like your king. They don't want their sin exposed. They hate the message of the cross. But it is this foolish preaching of the cross that has the answers to the deepest problems of humanity. The problem of sin The problem of alienation from a holy God. The problem of meaning and purpose of life. It's the foolish message of the cross, of Christ crucified, which is God's way of salvation, verse 21, to those who believe. If you are not at peace with God, the message of the cross is for you. It is a message of grace and mercy. It is a message of hope and peace. God in Christ is reconciling sinners to himself, forgiving sin for Christ's sake. And God has done all the work. Christ has paid the price for all the sins of his bride. There's nothing that you must do. Nothing that you have to add to what Christ has done. You do not need to help. God says, just believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you are yet in your sins, the invitation of the gospel is to you. And it's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:36 says, he who believes on the Son has everlasting life. Christ himself said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come to the crucified Christ? Will you embrace him as your Savior and as your King?